Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shumari, in Washington. Tonight, African hospitality.
And then she went to my fridge and pulled out some ham and made a sandwich. I was a little insulted. My fourth grade ego was wounded. I was like, what is this girl thinking?
I just met him in the bus. You see, the sister was not in the slightest bit suspicious, did not ask me to let me hold your passport and tell nothing. Just karibu, welcome. That is a memory that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Well, hospitality is the relationship between the guest and the host, or the act or practice of being hospitable. This includes reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. But what about African hospitality? Is it unique? And how? Well, that's the topic we're discussing tonight, of course, in our usual light-hearted way. So please, stay tuned. Now, it's time to welcome to our show my colleague, Ayen, from the South Sudan Savis. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And our fellow in the house, Tito. Welcome, Tito.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah.
In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing African hospitality. Well, we have a few folks to discuss this interesting issue. Earlier, I spoke to Mike Muhagama, and I wanted to know, what is the difference about African hospitality?
The main thing is a culture difference, in a way that Western countries, people, and again, I'm not saying this in the wrong way, but I think people have to know you very well to be friendly with you or to be at least close to you in one way or the other. But in Africa, the difference is people will just invite you to be friends with them in the very first day that you met them. And also, another difference is probably the upbringing. Here in the West, trust is the issue, in a way that you are a foreigner or you are a guest. I'm not going to give you all the details about me. I don't want you to get to know me in details because I don't know you. But in Africa, as I mentioned earlier, it's vice versa. You know, people tend to go out their ways to get noticed, to get known. Mm-hmm. You know, polite way of saying, hey, welcome, this is who we are, and this is Tanzania, or this is Africa, is quite opposite. So two things I would say, trust and the upbringing when it comes to difference in culture and how people are told to deal with others who are not familiar or are not from the same country as they are.
I know. Now, do you think that maybe this sometimes do cost people in Africa, and some people have suffered because of this?
Indeed. I mean, you know, they're saying that being too nice, sometimes people can confuse that with weakness, and actually people do confuse that with weaknesses, and they tend to take an advantage, and that's why if you go to some really African countries and you find a family that has been exposed to the Western culture and life, the story is different. They are Africans, they live in Africa, but the way they can welcome you or the way they initiate a friendship with you as a guest is completely different. And I can understand that because it's a way to say, hey, you know, I've lived outside Africa, so I don't want you taking advantage of my culture here by being nice to you and then flip it on me, and then, you know, I can suffer out of that. So if you go to Africa today, there are two different of people in a way that the native Africans who have been and are brought, I mean, in an African way, and those who are native Africans but have been brought and raised somewhere else, especially in Western countries, treatment of their guests are different. And that is the key thing. And I think it's for all good things and bad things. So like anything else, there are positive sides and negative sides. And I think if people in Africa are treating their guests differently or like the Western way of doing things in terms of how they treat them, I don't blame them. But on the other hand, I think we have to take, I mean, you know, a step back and say, hey, even though I know people can take an advantage of my situation, get to know me, and then flip on me, but we shouldn't let that absorb the positivity of how Africans should be and how Africans should treat their guests and their friends.
Thank you, Mike Muhagama. This is Let's Talk with your host, Sunday Shomari, and we're discussing African hospitality. Well, back to the studio, and I want to start with you, Ayan. What do you think about African hospitality? What is it so special? What is so different about it?
You know, I have to be honest, I have a love-hate relationship with African hospitality.
Really?
Wow, okay, why is that?
I really do. Africans are very obsessive about making sure that they are hospitable when a guest comes into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I have experiences where, you know, the people in the house are always hovering around me to make sure that I'm taken care of in every single minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how they do it. That's how it's done.
Right.
And I love that. I love that they care so much about your presence that they want you to be comfortable every single second of the day. But
right.
at the same time, when you go to someone's house, you know,
mm-hmm.
I kind of just want to kick back, relax, and not feel like I'm being watched the whole time. So even though I love African hospitality,
right.
and without fail, every single African house that I've been in, whether
mm-hmm.
it's Nigerian, you know, whether it's South Sudanese, whether it's Kenyan, their hospitable nature is consistent throughout.
Right.
And I love it, but
mm-hmm.
to all my Africans out there, if you could just back off a little when I'm at your house, I'd really appreciate it.
Really? Okay. Well, let's see. What about you, Tito? Tell me about it. What do you think about African hospitality?
Yeah, African hospitality, I think, according to me, I would just define, you know, when you look at African hospitality, I define it to be as a brotherhood and sisterhood in the society.
Okay.
You know, just back to history, like where even I came from,
mm-hmm.
you know, where people live as, you know, the same people in the society. Like if you have a visitor today,
yes,
the visitor is welcomed as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if a person you don't know before, just when the person gets to your home, that person becomes the member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you do is, you know, like in my community, you have to, you know, you have to immediately look for something and treat that person like he is in the same community.
Okay.
You know, that is a hospitality. Again, in the society, you know, the society, they look at themselves as one person without even saying that this is another tribe or this is also maybe this person comes from another community or this person comes from that community.
If you mention, what is your community?
Okay, my community is called Keliko Community. I'm from South Sudan, Central Equatorial State, Keliko Community. So in that community, people look themselves as one people. So that is a hospitality in Africa that is viewed, I think, diverse. So, you know, when we look at that angle, you know, and refer it to the other community, and I think looking at that system, the hospitality of Africa is, I think, if we able to continue with it, it is divergent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is divergent, and I think it can be able to keep us in a safe way. So for me, generally, I looked at it as a brotherhood and sisterhood in the community.
Okay, well said. Brotherhood and sisterhood. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Okay. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. We will be right back.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, and I'm here in our Washington studios with Tito and Ayen.
Yes.
Good.
On Let's Talk, we're discussing African hospitality. That's the topic we're discussing tonight. Another person with his own take on the issue is Professor Pete Muhunzi from Hollywood, California. And I wanted to know his experience with African hospitality.
You're reminding me of a speech that I gave before Tanzanians here in Los Angeles, when I talked about how people have a certain image, a certain way of dreaming about a foreign country that is high on their list of priorities. And I gave the example, students come here from different parts of Africa, other parts of the world, and they have an image of America that does not necessarily correspond to the image of people who were born here. And I said, I had the same idea about Tanzania. Before I went there, I thought I was going to paradise.
Oh, really? Okay. Why is that?
Well, because the idea of needing money, you know, eventually, of course, but the idea that this could really be crucial, I had come to the impression that this was something that I did not have to worry about. So believe me, what I'm about to tell you has no exaggeration.
Okay.
I boarded the bus in Mombasa, Kenya. I had, in cash money, I had maybe 15 shillings. This was in the 1970s.
Yes, I was about to ask, 15 shillings?
That's, that was almost $2.
That's a long time ago, okay.
And by the time I reached Dar es Salaam, I did not have a penny. I mean in Tanzanian money. I had traveler's checks. I knew eventually I would need some money.
Right.
But the idea that this would be crucial
was not in your mind.
No, no. Mm-hmm. And it was because of the perception I had of Tanzanian hospitality.
Okay.
Not only this, I had traveler's checks, but this was on a Sunday when I landed. So the banks are closed.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere to cash traveler's check. So what happened?
What happened?
On the bus, I met a young man, Tanzanian. And he was staying at Msimbazi Center. And we became friends on the bus. He said, come with me to where I'm staying. They have lodging there. He took me to Msimbazi Center, which was a Catholic school for young ladies, and they also had lodging. He told the sister, we have a guest. And she said, karibu.
Which means?
Welcome. I was shown to a room. He took me to dinner. The next morning, I got up and I went to the bank. I exchanged my traveler's checks for Tanzanian shillings. I came back and I paid my room and board. So even though I was in a foreign country,
mm-hmm.
For the first time in my life, I had a vague idea of where some Americans lived. I did not have a proper address. I knew there was a chicken farm. And I said, if worse comes to worse, I'll ask somebody where the chicken farm is and I will go there.
And crash at the chicken farm.
And crash at the chicken farm. But this is what actually happened. I went to Msimbazi Center.
With no idea who this new friend will take you, and you just met him in the bus.
I just met him in the bus. You see, the sister was not in the slightest bit suspicious, did not ask me to let me hold your passport and tell nothing.
Wow.
Just karibu, welcome. So that is...
What a great hospitality you had.
Isn't that, you see? That is a memory that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Thank you, Professor Pete Muhunzi from California. And a reminder, tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing African hospitality. And back to the studio. Well, cultures and subcultures vary in extent to which one is expected to show hospitality to strangers as opposed to personal friends or members of one's in group. So for that matter, I want to ask you guys.
Yes.
Do African people pay a heavy price for hospitality? Does this happen to people in Africa? Maybe I can start with you, Ayan. Do you think so?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. You know, when we lived in Kenya, we didn't have a lot of money. You know, my mom didn't work. You know, our food was very rationed. But when we had a guest come to the house, you know, we would feed them. Whatever we had, we would feed them. So for us as children, that was a very high cost. But to my parents, that's what we did. You know, when someone comes to your house,
mm-hmm.
if you can amputate your leg and give it to them,
then you do it.
If they need it, then you do it. That's just our nature.
Yeah.
And even as children, we understood it. You know, that's just what you do when someone comes to your house, or even if you're on the street, you know, and someone needs something, you help them out as much as you can. Mm. And I think that really comes from a state of, you know, you want to be respected and you want to be welcomed. And so you do it to other people in hopes that they will reciprocate that.
Right. And that's what happens. You go an arm and a leg or extra mile.
Exactly.
Although sometimes you can't afford it.
Right,
but you know
exactly.
what? It's a guess. I got to do it. This
exactly.
is what we do in Africa. Some
exactly.
people want to do that.
Exactly.
Well, you tell me, my friend.
Yeah.
Tito, you know, do we need to change or that's the deep business in Africa?
You know, just to continue what from what she has said, mm-hmm. you know, in Africa, hospitality even is extended up to strangers, you know.
I know.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
You know why? Mm-hmm. Because it is being perceived. They perceive it. Now, in sense that, like, for example, let me just cite an example. I like mm-hmm. talking examples.
Sure, that's okay.
Yeah. Right. Me, I'm from a certain community and I'm able to marry another community. You know, I get a wife from another community. Mm-hmm. And before, without knowing that community, our relations with that community is not good. Do you know what will happen next? Mm-hmm. Because I get married from that community, definitely the hospitality, the relations between me and that community will become clear. Now, I will be able to be so what? Respect in the community, mm-hmm. the same community where I think people think he's now a stranger to me, but I will be able to so what? Respect, you know. That respect becomes a hospitality in Africa. You know, anytime just I see the community passing, I will be able to show respect. Now,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, yeah. your name is connected to that respect.
Yeah.
So in regard if a stranger says something really great about you, then people will believe it rather than when like a friend of yours says
right.
because you know your friend is going to say nice things
anyway.
About you.
Right.
But when it's coming from a complete stranger, that hospitality that you have given that stranger is going to go back to your name and people are going to respect you out of that even more.
It goes a long way. So it's not just about helping, but also it's about your respect.
I think
exactly.
I think to summarize everything to be short, we said hospitality in Africa is just something natural in the world, you know.
Mm.
You know, people have it in their heart. I can't leave you without know that hospitality. Like if I'm supposed to do that, I'm supposed to help, or I'm supposed to respect and I'm supposed to love my brother, even my stranger. And any time, 1 month, 2 months, I go without these things, then I become sick, you know. Now the whole thing becomes now you know, a natural thing in the world.
Right.
So that is the nature of the hospitality in Africa, I believe.
That's know. What it is. We just have this as in our nature.
Yeah, it
right.
is our nature. Now it's a nature you can't go without, you know. Even sometimes it comes like water to quench your throat if you're tired.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I really it really is in our blood because
yeah.
sometimes when people come to my house and I don't offer them water, I feel bad inside.
You
I'm like,
bad,
oh
right?
my gosh.
What did I do?
I'm a horrible person. I'm
so,
sorry.
You know?
So you're from Tanzania, right?
Right.
Let me cite an example. Like in Africa, I have a visitor today. You have somebody who comes to you mm-hmm. and you just get that person seated.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give that person water.
Yeah.
You don't even give it tea. You don't even cook water. How do you feel?
I feel bad.
Does that happen in Africa?
That's what you say.
I feel like a failure.
Does that happen in Africa?
No, like
no, no, no. Just like Ayan said. You know, I will feel bad. Like, what did I do? You know?
So,
right, yeah.
Now, go.
I can't just afford to do that. I mean, it feels like it's not me.
Just go to other countries. Go to other countries, maybe Europe and some other families or countries apart from Africa.
Oh, here in America?
My friend, just even here in America.
Right.
You go to your colleague, you just sit at all the invited. My friend, you sit even for 6 hours, you won't see water
right.
passing.
Right.
You don't even see, you don't see a bottle of water or maybe crossing around you. Hey, what is that? But we in Africa,
otherwise,
we can't do that.
I know what he was talking about. Sometimes, you know, Ayan, someone comes to you, you just sit, you're home, just sit there and watch TV. It's
right.
okay.
Yeah.
But what happens is, I mean, in America, people expect you to express yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
You will tell
right.
them, but mate, I would like a bottle of water or something. But
right.
if you don't say it, you will wait for a while.
Right, right.
And with our African culture, we feel like, you know what? I'm a guest here. I can say nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. Exactly. It's actually rude to ask for water.
Ah, right.
From African cultures. Yeah, it is.
So you're like, I can't ask for that. This is rude. I can't ask for anything.
Right.
I'll just sit here relaxed, hoping
yeah.
they will do something for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
You know, I said example, you know, the way we live.
All right.
In my community where I came from, like when I go to your home and I have a sheet for more than 1 hour and 2 hours, I can't see a smoke anywhere. You know, people cook, there's no smoke.
Right.
Immediately, you know, I don't feel like to go to that home again.
You don't because, go nowhere.
You know why?
Uh-huh.
First, I am not respected in that family.
Okay.
And two, there is no relation, there is no brotherhood or sisterhood in that home. Definitely, I feel bad. And the next day, you think, I feel like I'll ask that family, the members of the family, if I inherit, they will ask, is this family okay?
Well, something is wrong here, right?
Or is this the member of the community? You see?
Right.
Definitely, that question will come.
Right.
So it looks like now, the, you know, the hospitality in Africa is a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in our blood now. I move from the hospitality.
Right.
And I think I need to sew it here.
Yes, Tito, you need to. That's right.
I must sew it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. I was just speaking to someone, as you hear, they said that, you know what? I remember going in Africa, and for the first time, after visiting this family, they walk me to the bus station. And then wait for me to get a bus. This professor was telling us. I was like, yes, that happens only in Africa. I said, yes, this was the first time I saw it. I'm like, oh my God. Or sometimes you go, a stranger comes in, you don't even know them, but they still invite you.
Yes.
They give you whatever you need.
Yes.
But I think the times we live in, can we still afford in Africa to help strangers? Because I think things are changing right now. What do you think, Ayan?
Yeah, things are changing. I think the world is unfortunately getting a little more dangerous. So talking to strangers could lead to you know, devastating losses. But along with the world changing, I think that Africans are also becoming smarter. So even though you might meet a complete stranger on the road, I think that we still have it in us to, this is honestly really hard for me to talk about, but, but I think that we just have an innate nature to protect ourselves, but to not let it go so far that we completely ignore someone out of fear that they might hurt us or, you know, that they may not be good people. That example that you just used with the professor being taken all the way to the bus stop, you know. I think that's a really great example, you know, of us just constantly going that extra step, that extra mile, to make sure that the person who has graced our presence feels safe. And I think that goes for strangers too, you know. I mean, a stranger to me is someone's brother, and I think that that's just the way that Africans think. So yes, to conclude, we do have to protect ourselves. We do have to be careful around strangers. But it's still in our nature to make sure that the people who do grace our presence are taken care of.
Okay, well said. What do you think about strangers, my friend Tito?
Yeah, you know, strangers, to me, they're not born, right?
Okay.
A person is not natural born to be a stranger.
Okay.
A person gets a stranger when he grows up and tries to think about something in life. Now, it is very easy for us to get these strangers to be part of us through our hospitality. You know, that can be very easy. Your friend or a colleague or somebody will become a stranger or an enemy to you when that person thinks of a different idea that he or she wanted to achieve and fails to get that thing.
Okay.
Now, how do we convince that person? I think simply our hospitality there can easily convince that person. Like today, you have a stranger. You know that. I know that you're a stranger. You're coming to me. And what I have to do is I need to treat you in a way that makes you to be very happy. So that is, again, part of hospitality. So if I can be able to treat you in a way that you like, definitely you will not become a stranger again. You even forget what you wanted to do, what will be the reason for you to become a stranger. Because you become a stranger, something annoys you. So if I can treat you in a way that your annoyment can go away, definitely you not become a stranger. So if we continue to show our hospitality to the rest of the people or even our strangers, I think definitely we will not have enemies, even we will not have strangers. For me, I just see the issue of a stranger is not a big deal. So our hospitality alone can overcome that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And
yes.
I was just going to say, I always say that the distance between a stranger and a friend is a cup of tea. And, you know, where I come from, we always serve tea. I'm from South Sudan.
Okay.
But, you know, tea's like all over Africa.
I drink tea all day, every day, whether it's hot or cold. And I'm like, people are like, really?
Actually,
like,
yeah. I went to a cookout, a South Sudanese cookout 2 weeks ago, and it was hot. It was like 90 degrees. And they had like a pot of tea right there.
See?
And they were drinking it. But there's power in tea.
Yes.
You can really make friends over tea.
Really? Yeah,
absolutely. So
tea is not just tea. There's something else. Oh, right?
My friend. If I tell you, my friend, let's just have a cup of tea. It's not just tea.
We'll be best friends in no time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm learning something here. You know, it's just not just cup. There's more than that little cup you see right there.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Africans are so friendly.
Yes.
And inviting, because we love tea so much.
Yeah. And also the advantage as a part of hospitality, you know, is that if I say to come and get a cup of tea, it doesn't mean just come without anything. I will just do that. I'll buy it for you. Mm-hmm. And if I knew that you're a stranger, I said, my friend, let's have a cup of tea. When you come, you need not to expend anything. So because I'm hospital to everything, I need to get you a cup of tea. I'll pay it. Don't worry about that. And then I'll ask you, what do you need again? You need something? You need something? You said yes. If you need something, I said no problem. I will just give it. What do you need? What next again?
Right.
What next again?
And
if you also mention something, I need to give you that thing.
Right.
My friend, even the reason for you to come to me, if you have an idea to come and destroy me or something different, these things will get lost.
And that's
you'll
the thing,
forget
you,
them.
You just mentioned some very important issue. Like you go somewhere, someone invites you to drink or pay for you.
Yeah.
Do you see that happening in this side of the world? You can be invited for a drink, but guess what?
Only in Africa.
You're paying for your drink.
Only in Africa, I agree. I think I just came. I came
to America, right?
not here.
I came 4 weeks 4 weeks ago to America from Africa.
Yes.
It's only in Africa. It happens.
Yes.
This week I said, my friend, this week join me.
Yeah.
And you need not to come with anything. You join me.
Yeah.
And there you are successfully, you come happy, there's no problem. It's part of my hospitality.
Right.
That's the reason that's why we said, you know, we move with the hospitality in our pockets, you know, in our blood.
Yeah.
So, but elsewhere.
Yeah, I've actually had to stop buying my friends coffee and dinner because they don't pay that back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because only you doing it every day, right?
Right, exactly. Why just me?
You got to reciprocate right here,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Ian can give us an overview because he had been here for the last 20 years in America. How is it here? Because in South Sudan, when I said, can you join me for a cup of tea? And definitely you need to do anything. You're under my control. You can do anything you ask.
Anything you ask is under me.
I am the host.
I know that.
I'll do everything.
Only in Africa, my friend.
How do you see it here?
Here it's different because, you know, when I have a lot of friends who, when I go to their house, they want me to be independent. They want me, and you know, I really do understand where they're coming from.
Okay.
They want me to go in their house. They want me to feel comfortable.
Feel at home.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. They want it to feel like home. So they're not going to get me water because they want me to feel comfortable enough to get my own water.
Right.
Because at my house,
that's what I would do.
That's exactly what I would do.
Right.
So I think for me, I'm just because of where I come from and my culture and my upbringing, you know, I've been taught that it's rude to go into someone's kitchen and just grab whatever you want.
Right.
So there's always that cultural phenomenon playing. But so, you know, I make fun of my American friends a lot because I really don't feel like they're hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, they learned that when someone comes into their house, into their house, you make it feel like home.
Right.
You know, you let them know that their home is open for you to do whatever you need to do.
Well, that's it for sure on African Hospitality. A big thank you to our guests, Mike Mahagama and Professor Pete Mhunzi. Also, thank you to my colleague, Ayan.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for coming. And our fellow Mr. Tito, thank you for coming, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Loving this time.
All right, sure.
And I just have to say I expect tea after this.
Okay, well said. You got some tea from me.
All right.
Jackson Uvunganyi is our producer. And as usual, send in your comments and story ideas. We love to hear from you. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942 and leave us a voicemail. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.